Welcome to the conversation from a man's perspective. This is the place where we dialogue about religion, politics, relationships, dating, and social issues. The purpose of our conversations are to stimulate positive communication, thus creating a more harmonious atmosphere. Under the umbrella of Black Pearl Image Consulting, we also hold self-esteem building workshops with powerful motivational speakers to get you to the next level. Here at Black Pearl Image, we bring out the gem in you because we focus on the inner image first and the rest will follow. So check us out at blackpearlimage.com and book your next intimate conversation with one of our panelists. Also, a self-esteem building workshop with our motivational speakers. See you there.
Hello, welcome to the Father's Day edition of the Conversation from a Man's Perspective. My name is Justin Christ. I'll be sitting in tonight for Levana Forrest. And so tonight we're just going to have a conversation about the necessity of fathers, not just the necessity of earthly fathers in the lives of their sons and their daughters, but also the necessity of our Heavenly Father in our lives. And how important his relationship with us is, and our relationship with him is to him. So I'm going to go through some things here. I'm going to give some scripture throughout the hour. So I hope you know that there's some fathers out there who need some encouragement. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of father you've been. It's not too late to begin to build that relationship with your children. I'm going to relate a little bit with my own story, my own testimony from my life, both past and present. So I'm hoping that there are some fathers out there and maybe even some sons who need a little bit of encouragement to step into a relationship, whether you have one or not, with your father, your earthly father, or even your heavenly father. Let's just begin with a prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, so much for the riches and the grace, Lord, that you have just poured out for your children, God. We thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate not only, Lord, our natural fathers, Lord, but we can celebrate today your fatherhood, Lord, that you are our father and you are a good father who knows how to give good gifts to his children, Lord, because you have given us the best gift of all. And that is the sacrifice of your son and your one and only son, your most precious possession. You have sacrificed him for us, for our sakes. Lord, we thank you, Lord, so much for this Father's Day, God. I just pray, Lord, that the words that are spoken tonight, Lord, would just find their way into the hearts and to the minds of men across the world, Lord, that would just need a word of encouragement, Lord. So, Father God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just bless this show, Lord, and we just give you all the glory and honor in your name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So a little bit about my background. Me and my wife, who we've been married since September, have founded our own ministry called Vanguard Ministry. In fact, some of the listeners may have recalled an interview that I did a few months ago in regards to that. So if you want to know what that ministry entails and what it's all about, you know, you can listen to that that interview on Levana's website. So we had started this ministry, and we've only been married since September. You know, marriage is tough. It's a challenge, but then all good things in life worth fighting for are challenges. I came into a family that already had children, so it was interesting. I've never been married before, and I've always wanted kids. And it was interesting coming into a family that has already been established. And that in and of itself, you know, getting married and staying married anymore is a challenge, you know, and it's worth fighting for. But coming into a family that's already been established and establishing yourself within that family as a godly father and a role model is extra challenging. It has been very rewarding, as well as, you know, I think a lot of fathers out there would agree that raising children in the ways of the Lord is a tremendous blessing. So my son Dylan, he's 15, and this young man, let me tell you, he is such a strong person. And you know, he makes me so proud because, you know, he's only ever had a mother. You know, when he was born, you know, he's never known his father. And he had the opportunity at one time, but, you know, the man that fathered him was not willing to really step into that position. And so, you know, he just kind of accepted that and has never known who his earthly father is. He's had male role models throughout his life and people who have been able to pour into him, and I thank God for that. But, you know, I really think that this young man was meant for me, you know, because he is such a blessing to me, and I just love him so much. And, but to be able to step into his life and to help shape who he becomes in the future, you know, that is just so precious to me. And so he's 15 years old. We also have a daughter named Haley. She is 8. She's my little princess. And so it's just, you know, marriage and fatherhood comes with all kinds of challenges. But the rewards far outweigh any of the challenges that you face. And, you know, there's a lot of strong men of God out there, you know, who I think need encouragement, because fatherlessness is a problem in our day and in our time. Because I think that not a lot of men have had fathers who could step into that role and to teach them how to be men, how to be fathers. So there's a lot of young men out there who are scared, who may have made bad choices, and, you know, whether you've gotten a young woman pregnant or whatnot, you know, there are people out there who understand the fear that comes with fathering, you know, whether it's an issue of self-doubt, not feeling because you didn't have a father, you wouldn't make a good father. Whatever your situation is, just know that there is hope. And, you know, that there's a way of life that can teach you all the steps that you have to take in order to be a good father, because all you have to do is just look at your Heavenly Father. He is our model for what fatherhood truly is. So I like I said, I honestly believe that, you know, these children and stuff that we have, because my wife had 2 stepchildren as well, and, you know, I've pretty much adopted them into being my children also. You know, they're just phenomenal young men and women, and, you know, I'm just so blessed, you know, and this is my first Father's Day, you know, so it was particularly special to me to be able to share that with them when I know that they didn't have a good father, or one that would be willing to lay down his life and to teach them and love them and be a part of who they are and what they want to do. You know, my goal, and I think every father's goal should be, you know, not dictating who our children become, but teaching them the right way and letting them become the person and the man or woman of God that they're going to become, and to speak into their destiny and to speak into their identity and to help them become who they want to be. You know, not to dictate, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to law school. I want you to do this or that. You know, that's not our place as parents. Our place is to just train up a child in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. You know, and that goes, you know, a lot of people, I think a lot of Christians use that to talk about, you know, if you train up a child in the church, he'll not depart from it. Well, that's not always the case. But what I think, on a broader scale, that verse could be interpreted as, it doesn't matter what you train up a child, the way you train up a child, if it's part of who they are, it becomes part of their identity, they're not going to stray from that. It doesn't matter if the child is raised in an alcoholic home. You know, that child is going to have a greater tendency towards that because that's what they know. It doesn't matter if a child was raised in a fatherless home. You know, that's what they're going to do. When it comes down to it and they need to be the father, you know, whether it's because they got married and having children or they've gotten a young woman pregnant out of wedlock, you know, they're not going to be there to be a father because they don't know how to be. They didn't have one to show them. So it doesn't matter what your child is trained up in, if they're not going to depart from that, you know, drugs or alcohol or whatever. So Psalms 127, verse 3 and 5, 3 through 5, and this is something that I'm learning now. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." These children are going to be direct representations of us, you know, whether that's good or bad. You know, if we don't step into that role and we don't step up to the plate and we don't be who they need us to be, you know, then there's going to be issues down the road. But if you, when a child is young and you train them up and teach them what a man or woman of God is like, you know, then when the time comes and they need to stand on their own, they will be able to. You know, I think a lot of times boys do not feel validated as men because their fathers do not validate them, you know, so they make bad decisions or they don't feel like, you know, they're worthy of this or that. You know, from my own experience, you know, when I was growing up, you know, my dad was always there, but, you know, I mean, physically he was there, but emotionally he wasn't. You know, I mean, there wasn't a lot of things that we had in common. So I was really raised without a father to teach me. I mean, there was men that come in and out of my life and stuff that were able to pour into me and to teach me and stuff. But, you know, you really can't replace fatherhood with that, you know, and that's things that the Lord will provide along the way if there's not a father available. But, you know, it causes a lot of issues in a young man's life down the road when there wasn't a steady male figure to validate them and to teach them the things they needed to know. And so it created a lot of issues in my life, you know, a longing for that male acceptance, you know, and so a lot of times, you know, people will go to find that in other places. You know, for me, in my own personal life, the place that it took me to find that male acceptance was pornography and particularly homosexual pornography, you know, because I was looking to be validated as a man, and I began to look in the wrong places. And so that led to a whole completely different thing, you know, which, you know, praise God, I've been set free from, you know, and that's just a part of my past that's now an area of victory that I can use into ministering to other people. You know, so we cannot cheapen the necessity of the fathers in our own lives and in the lives of our children, because there will come a time down the road that you will either stand and be proud of the children that you have raised because you have raised them to be godly men and women, or you're going to stand and feel guilt and shame because you weren't involved enough in their life, you didn't have enough time for them, you know, and whatnot. So you have to make those decisions now. You know, and we have to be men of integrity before our families. You know, Proverbs 10:9 says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. You know, so walking as men of integrity is of the utmost importance before our family, because they're going to become the products of our lives. So I just want to encourage the men out there, you know, regardless of what kind of father you think you've been, today on this Father's Day, just step back and take a look objectively at the relationships with your children, you know, because there are always areas of improvement. You know, coming into a family that has a teenager, my son is 15, it's particularly hard because he's already started to establish that identity, and it's a fine identity, you know, who he wants to be, you know, so it's hard to try to find out, okay, now where can I help you, you know, I mean, you're already becoming a young man, and, you know, you're already making some decisions and stuff on your own, you know, so finding a place to help, you know, is not always easy if you're not involved in that process from the very beginning. So today I just want you guys to find encouragement. I don't want you to find shame, because it's not too late. You know, if you don't know who your father is, or you don't know if you even have one, if he's still alive, whatever, you know, there is ways to help you get in contact with your heavenly father. I mean, really, you know, I love my earthly father, you know, and we've made amends from past hurts and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you something. I was not able to understand how much my earthly father was hurting until I fully understood my relationship with my heavenly father. That is the foundation right there, is being established as a man or woman of God and a man or woman of integrity. Now, you know, I'm sure that most of you that are listening to this have a relationship with the Lord, you know, but I'm going to say something, you know, I want everyone to think about their own earthly father, whether he's alive or not. A lot of times, and this is a case in a lot of people that I've talked to, a lot of times people will view their heavenly father the same way they view their earthly father. And see, that affected my relationship with God, because when I realized that I did it, you know, I knew that God loved me, but always from a distance. You know, I didn't think that me and God had a lot in common. You know, I didn't think he really wanted to be a part of my life, which is exactly the way that I saw my earthly father. You know, we didn't have a lot in common. I really didn't feel like he wanted to be a part of who I was. But I knew that he loved me, you know, but from a distance, you know, because it wasn't even up until recently that he was able to tell me that, you know, that he loved me. Because, like I said before, it was the same way his father was with him. You know, he didn't have a father who could pour into him and he could talk to and would validate him. And so that's what he became. And so, you know, we have to break the generational curse of the fatherlessness. I'm going to tell you something. The need for fathers today is greater than it has ever been. Because there is so much crime, there are so many things out there that are attributed to fatherlessness. And these are issues that we can fix. You know, this isn't some grand issue that, you know, it's just out there and there's nothing we can do about it. You know, I mean, maybe a lot of people view it that way, but when you look at the root cause of all these issues in our society, that is it. Like, fatherlessness, if there was godly men and women who would stand up and would raise their kids in the ways of the word, it's not, you know, they're not going to lead to those lives, because those kids will know right from wrong, and they will know what they need to do. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that in the book of Malachi, it's the very last book of the Bible, the very last verse of the very last book, Malachi 4:6, says, "And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." God deals in the business of family. He is the family maker. When we become Christians, we are adopted into the family of God. You know, we are sons and daughters of God. We are kings and queens in his kingdom. And these are issues of identity that the church doesn't teach anymore. You know, this isn't about a religion. It's about a relationship. My pastor back in Indiana used to say, rules without relationship lead to rebellion. If you implement rules in the lives of your children without having a relationship with them, they will rebel. And these people who view the Bible or the Christianity and that religion, quote unquote, as that, as all these rules and stuff that you have to do this and you can't do that and this, you know, without diving into the relationship of God, the deepness of our Father, you know, finding out who he is, what he likes, you know, I mean, it's invigorating. It's so, you know, there's so much joy in searching out those places in God's heart to find out what he likes, who he is. You know, I mean, he's got a personality just like any of us. You know, if we've been made in his image, you know, he's emotional. You know, a lot of people look at emotions and they say, oh, you know, those, you know, emotions are bad. Okay, yeah, if you're ruled by your emotions, then sure. You know, emotions can be bad, you know, depending on what the emotion is. But there are emotions that God exhibits. There's a list of them in the Bible. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, self-control. Those are called fruits of the Spirit in the Bible, but they're emotions. Those are God emotions. And those are how he exhibits himself. So there is, you know, there's so much joy within the family. The family unit is so important to our society, and I will tell you this. And there's forefathers. Our forefathers, way, way back, you know, hundreds of years ago, have said, if the family unit ever decays, society will decay. And that's exactly what we've seen throughout the years. You know, you look back and you see all these things going on throughout the world. You know, the family doesn't mean the same way, you know, the same thing that it meant 30 years ago. You know, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but, you know, the whole idea of family is under attack right now because of that exact reason. You know, the whole notion of a marriage between man and a woman, you know, there's a reason why it was laid out that way. And it's important for us to know that is the godly blueprint that God has set down, and there's a reason for it, whether we understand it or not, whether we believe it or not. Truth is not relative. The things that he tells you in the Bible That's the way it is. You know, and I equate it a lot of times to like a song that somebody writes. You know, like I can listen to that song, and through circumstances or things in my life, you know, that song could say this you know, particular thing to me, you know, this particular message. Well, okay, you know, that's all well and good, but in all honesty, the only interpretation for that song is the one the author wrote it for. That's the only interpretation, is the one he wrote it for. The Word of God is the same way. It's not objective to our circumstances. You can't just interpret Scripture because, you know, based on your life experience. That's not the way that it works. It is the truth. It is the Word of God. You know, and it has to be the foundation of not just our lives as men of God or women of God, but as our family. It has to be at the core of our family. One of the things, and I've been reading in Joshua a lot lately, you know, and I just found so much courage in Joshua, you know, when he's talking in Joshua, in the 24th chapter, in verse 15, you know, he's pretty much telling the children of Israel, okay, are you going to follow all the idols of your fathers, or are you going to follow the one true God who you know is your father? It says, you can choose what you want, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's the attitude that we have to have. You know, we have to be vigilant about our family's safety, about the things we expose them to, about the people we expose them to. I'm going to tell you something. If there is a person in my life, a friend of mine that I know that I would not be comfortable with my kids being around, then they're not a part of my life. I want men and women around me who are going to uplift my children and are going to speak into their lives. Last night, here at our church, we had a movie night, and we watched Courageous, and I don't know how many of you have seen that movie, and it was the first time I had ever seen it, and I'm going to tell you something. That movie wrecked me. I mean, it literally put me in tears because it caused me to stand back and have a long, hard look at myself as a father, you know, and the attitudes that I have around my children. And at the end of the movie, the fathers take this resolution, and they sign this resolution, and I'm going to read it, because I think it's just so powerful. And this is just a vow that they were taking in front of their wives and children to be the man of God that would lead the house. And this is how it goes. I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all of their hearts, all of their minds, and all of their strength. I will train them to honor authority and live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, be faithful to His church, obey His word, and do His will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for his glory. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now that resolution, it epitomizes what a man or woman of God looks like. Is the man of the house, you're the gatekeeper. You're the one that allows whatever to come into your home, whether it's inappropriate music, inappropriate movies. You know, these are things that will last in your children's mind. Because society and culture has a way of shaping who our children become. Because that's how it works with their friends. But that's not acceptable. You know, I don't want my children to become who they're going to become based on what their friends do or what their friends' parents do. I want them to become the man or woman of God that they were meant to be, walking in the identity and the purpose that God has set down for them 100%. And if that's not what they become, you know, I really have to look at how I raised them. Now, in Genesis, there's a picture of completeness, the complete family. And that's, I mean, creation was complete. You know, man, woman, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But if we begin to erode in our family, then our entire nation will fall apart. As you see, there was an erosion between in the marriage of the man and the woman. It was helped, yes. But nonetheless, there was instruction. You know, they knew what they needed to do and what they shouldn't do. So there's something that we hand down to our children by living in front of them. Now, there is so much more that we could do for our children. You know, spend more time with them. Find out their interests and become interested in the things they're interested in. Listen to them. They'll tell you what they want. You know, and there may come a day when they don't want that anymore. Like, they don't want that attention from you anymore, you know? And you know, I really hope that day doesn't come in my family because, you know, I don't know what I would do. But, you know, I don't want to look back on my children and regret my role as a father and say, man, I could have been such a better father to them. You know, because my children have already been hurt. And so it's my responsibility to step in and fill a void in their life that they've been looking for. And the one thing, you know, initially when my wife first got married, the first thing, the hardest thing for me to do, and I even told my mother this, you know, because I don't know how she did it as a single parent, sending her two sons out into the world knowing that she could not protect them from the things they would encounter. Now, there's only so much that you can do for them up until they, you know, they leave and they go to college or go in the military or whatever, you know, they choose to do. You know, they're going to be exposed to a lot of things, which is why it's important for you to establish those foundations now before, you know, all the before the world acts out in front of them. I'm going to tell you something. Our children and the things that society will teach them, the more that they tolerate it, the more they will embrace it and will eventually stand and promote it. Now, if you are a man or woman of God, that statement should terrify you. Because if you look at our society and how so wrapped up in sex and drugs and violence that it is, you cannot tolerate those things within your home. Absolutely not. A standard has to be set. And as the father, that is your responsibility. Fathers, date your daughters. Because I'm going to tell you something. When that young man comes knocking on the door, if you have set that standard over him and you show her what to expect and to expect nothing less than who you are, then unless that man, that young man is a man of integrity and a godly man, he ain't got a chance. Because your daughter will shoot him down so quick. Because when you set that standard, nothing else will do. So what's the role of the church in this current family crisis throughout America and essentially throughout the world? The divorce rate in the church is similar to that in the world. The church embraces and promotes the same entertainment as the world. And the church has been muted and has lost their prophetic voice, while modern culture continues to aggressively degenerate and loudly promote faith, the church. Now, the church has altered the true gospel message to a watered-down version that has no power or ability to impact society, okay? So that is why your role as a father, to be hooked up to your father, to the Heavenly Father, let Him teach you how to be a father. Because if He is the creator of all things, then by all means, He'll teach you all things that you need to know. He'll teach you the ways to go. He promises it in His Word. He wants to train you up in the way you should go because you're His child. Proverbs 23:24 says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him." Proverbs is just chock full of verses about being wise, being a good father, you know, raising your children in a godly manner. You know, I would encourage you to go through Proverbs and just really meditate on some of the truths that God reveals there. So this Father's Day, you know, because I've had to take a long, hard look, having been a father for a few months, you know, the impact that I'm having on my children's lives. Am I able to release them into an identity that down the road I'll be able to stand there and say, that's my boy, or that's my girl? So I would encourage you to take a long, objective look at yourself this Father's Day. And I know that Father's Day is drawing to an end, and I hope that it's been, you know, a great Father's Day. And I hope that, you know, you've been able to spend time with your families, because I've been able to spend time with mine today. And it has just blessed me. You know, I think my daughters have made me three or four cards already today, you know, and they just love drawing things and making things. And, you know, those are things that last to me. Those are the memories that I will keep for the rest of my life. So as you look at your life objectively, you know, your life as a father objectively, I want you to know that there is no shame. Okay? There is no shame in those that belong to Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. It's not too late. If you've not been a good father or didn't know how, begin to read the Word, because there is verse after verse after verse after verse after verse that will show you how to live your life in front of your kids in a godly way. Because the Bible is a blueprint. You know, there's no area of ministry that has not been outlined or blueprinted in the Word of God. You know, and I think that the majority of the Scriptures is a blueprint on how to be a good father or a good mother. So let me speak to the men, like in my particular situation, who have kind of stepped up to the plate and taken a role that they necessarily didn't expect to see themselves in. Men who stepped into families who were already in progress. The fact that you were willing to step into a family that already had already been established already speaks volumes about the character that you have. Because not a lot of men are that selfless or would care to step into a role of a father for children that aren't biologically theirs. But I'm going to tell you something. Down the road, when you see them and they've grown up, and they've left the house, you're the one that they're going to remember. You're the one that they're going to come to, and the one that they're going to be worried whether they're going to make you proud or disappointed. The impact that you're having in their lives right now is enormous. And I'm learning that more day by day by day by day. You know, when I sit down next to my son, who's 15 years old, and he just lights up because Dad wants to sit next to me. Dad wants to spend time with me. And that's not something that he's had. Somebody that would seek him out and want to get to know him and love him regardless of who he is. Now, with my daughter, it's a lot easier. You know, she will come find me. You know, she seeks out my attention. And any person who has teenagers knows that, you know, sometimes it's hard to get the attention of a teenager. You know, at least that's the front they put on. But they still seek it. If it's been an area in their life where they haven't felt fulfilled, they still crave it. It's still a necessity. They need it. If you haven't seen the movie Courageous, I encourage you to go watch it. It was made by the same people that made Facing the Giants. And it's an absolutely incredible movie and very timely, I think, for Father's Day. So let me also speak to those who have had either had an earthly father or do have an earthly father that may not have lived up to who God had called them to be. Whether your father is still living or not, it's important for you to know that you need to forgive him. And I say that, and I know that it's not, forgiveness is the hardest thing that we will ever have to do in our lives, honestly. Because it's crucial. I wasn't always willing to forgive my father. But when I realized that my relationship with him was not a direct relationship with my Father in heaven, I began to build a relationship with God. And once I realized that God is truly my Father, I mean, he's the one that pursues you, I was able to look at my father and say, you know, this is a broken man who is hurting, who doesn't know who his father is, because he's never had a man to live it out in front of him. And I realized that my earthly father was hurting more than I was. And when that happens, there's a level of compassion that comes on you. And you're able to step into an arena with your father and begin to build a foundation. And from that, day by day, you build and you build and you build. And you let them know that you forgive them. You know they're not perfect, and that you've forgiven, but you want to start building a relationship with them. Now, if your father's not alive, you still need to forgive him, because it's still holding you in bondage, and that's not fair to you. You can't be free because of something that they did in their past or whatever. Why would you go on continuing to live in bondage and in anger when God can teach you what a true father is and can still release that compassion for you to forgive your father? Forgiveness is of the utmost importance. And that's not just between fathers and children. I mean, that's across the board. You know, I mean, the greatest gift that God gave us was our forgiveness of our sins through the shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. I mean, that was an amazing gift, because our Father is good. You know, I know back in you know, decades ago, God wasn't looked at like, you know, a good father. You know, a lot of people view him as the man who's waiting upstairs to beat you down at the billy club just because you did this or that. That's not who he is. God's not angry with you. He desires you. He desires to fill those areas in your life that, you know, people damaged or, you know, were not fulfilled if you didn't have someone there, you know, to heal those things. You know, and I'm going to tell you something else. And this is a bit off the subject, but I feel like I need to say it and just to release this. There's a level of freedom that comes from forgiveness. You know, in the Bible it says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, this is, like I said, this is a little off the subject, but I feel like there's somebody out there who is going to get some revelation right now. There's areas in your life that you have been battling and battling and battling for years and years and years. And when I say battle, I mean, you know, you fight it and then you slip back into it. You fight it and you slip back into it. And it's just become so tiring that you're thinking about just giving up the fight and just accepting whatever it is that you're fighting. Let me tell you something. When the Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, that is, in all sense and purposes, the formula for overcoming. Now, in that verse, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb has already been applied. Jesus has shed his blood once for all. So those sins of your past, whatever it is that you're facing, whatever shame it is that you're feeling, it is under the blood, if you put it under the blood. So just begin to ask the Lord to just put those sins in your past under the blood. It's done. When Jesus died on the cross and he said, it is finished, he meant it is finished. There was no secret meaning behind it. He meant it is finished. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now you have a testimony. Every believer that is out there has a testimony. So here's the thing. If the devil is trying to keep you in bondage to the things in your past, he can't help the fact that the blood has already been applied. That's done. But if he can keep you in bondage and shame, and you never incorporate those things in your past into your testimony, he will continue to hang them over your head, and you will continue to feel shame for the rest of your life, and you will never do anything worthy of commendation in the courts of heaven. But if you take those things that have happened to you, and you not necessarily, I don't want to say accept them, but you own them. Grab a hold of those things, and you, yeah, okay, accept it. Say, yeah, that's who I was. But God says there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation. And you begin to own those things. There's a transference of power that goes from the devil hanging those things over your head in shame and guilt to you hanging them over the devil's head and saying, now what? What do you got? And now you've truly overcome those things. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And it doesn't stop there. Because then the next part says, they love not their lives unto death. Begin to release that testimony. Because when there's a release of a testimony, there is grace for people who are battling that particular situation or something similar to be released from the bondage that they've been feeling. They love not their lives unto death. You have got to get over the fear of man. And you say, I don't care if my testimony offends. You don't care. Thank you. I don't care if they reject me or whatever they're going to do. I'm going to share this testimony, and I'm going to release it. So God, I just pray, Lord, right now, that you would just take the words that has been spoken, God, and you would just release people, Lord, into their destinies, Lord, and from the bondage that they've been feeling, God. I pray, Lord, that you would release new favor into the lives of fathers all over the world, Lord. That you would just begin to teach them who you are and how good of a father you are, and to teach them how to stand in truth and righteousness before their children. Thank you. So guys, it's just been a pleasure speaking to you guys. I will continue to pray for you, and I'm sure Levana will be back next week. But it's just been a pleasure and talking to you guys. I just appreciate it. You guys have a great evening and happy Father's Day.